Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Do it a little faster.
You still got it.
It's your girl Shanti.
And it's Antoinette.
And we are
Around the Way Curls.
Join us as we share our unique life experiences,
aka tell all our business,
and explore both the profound and the profane.
Because duality is a thing.
Hello.
Yes, ho.
Hey. Hi. Hey.
How are you, Antoinette? What are you up to?
I've been on edge. This work week has been absolute hell. Big launch this week. Haven't been enjoying it at all. Been questioning everything. Been feeling like my life is not my own. Been not getting outside very much, not seeing people. Avoiding phone calls, avoiding family issues, and not being present, but really finding comfort in a terrible season of Fear of the Walking Dead. This has got to be the worst season of any Walking Dead season. It's horrible. It's a train wreck. And it's starring Coleman Domingo, and I love him, but it's god awful. It is like, do I finish? I am struggling more with this than I did on the regular Walking Dead. You know how I put it down?
Consensus on to keep going?
Everyone's telling me you don't have to. You don't need it. But I feel... In my instincts, I feel that I do. I feel that I need it, one, for the distraction, but two, I think it's going to help me with the ones that live, whatever it is, the one with Michonne and Rick, the final chapter. Because there's a lot of little Easter eggs, hidden clues into, I can't tell you because you didn't see it, but into... What the fuck happened with Rick? And I'm going to keep going. I just want to say to all the Walking Dead listeners, watchers, folks that will DM me, tweet me, we're in this together. I know that Fear of the Walking Dead is horrible. It started out bad. It kind of got a little more digestible. Not enjoyable, but you could stomach it. And now it's to the point when you hit season 7, I mean, it's a fucking commitment. You hit season 7 and you just have to put put your head down and pray for it to be over soon. Truly.
That's terrible.
It's horrible. But it's in the background.
I'm not How many invested. Episodes?
Girl, so many. Too many. And I love Coleman. What the fuck is going on, though?
I have a question.
Bad. Oh, my God. Oh, too many. Here we go. Season 7 has 16 episodes. And I got another season after this. And then I'm done with this.
That's ridiculous. I have a question for you.
What?
In your avoidance of everything, is it...
Wait, I said I was avoiding.
Are you perpetuating?
You better get on my nerves.
I think I'm just wondering. I think a lot of people, you know, I think it's not just you. I think it's all of us, right? Especially in our friend group. When somebody goes into is going through something, they tend to isolate from everything. And we always like, oh, give them their room, give them their space to do what they got to do. Wait till they come out. She comes back. Is that enabling something? Should that type of cycle be disrupted? Are we enabling by doing that? Or should it be disrupted with like, hey, maybe it's not forcing anybody to talk because that never works, but being in company and witness of something versus just being around somebody when they're going through it versus like,
I don't know.
I
don't know because I think it's different for everyone. There have been times in my life where like a time in college where I shut down, I wouldn't go to class for like a week and a half. My dad had to come up there and talk to me. And I was like, I don't know. I'm sick. Something's wrong with me. I physically can't get out of bed. And he was like, you're depressed, Antoinette. We've taken your temperature. We took you to the doctor. We this, we that. You are depressed. You have the shades down in your room. Your room stinks. Like, this is the space of a depressed person. And I was like, for real? I actually really thought something was physically wrong with me. I was like, I have some kind of ailment where I can't function. I think then, sure, because I had all the time. I wasn't doing shit. I can only speak for myself. Right now, I wouldn't have the time or the space to even, I don't have the time or space to even really know how I feel with the things that I'm dealing with within my family. Truly, I don't. I'm high functioning and this week was just one of those weeks. You know that I am in conversation with my sister. I'm in conversation with certain people. I think specifically for this thing, it's hard to talk about when everybody has their stuff going on in the group. I mean, Jasmine's still reeling from Miss Pam. Amanda has stuff, you know, she has her stuff with her parent who has, you know, a health condition. All kinds of stuff is happening. I don't feel like there's a whole lot of room, and I don't feel like asking for room to be made. And I also would have to provide way too much context, and it just feels like another job in this moment, if I'm being completely mm-hmm. honest. What I need mm-hmm. is to find a therapist. I am actively looking, calling, researching. Maybe y'all can offer help with that if you have some. I don't know. But people don't know the backstory and the why this is so deeply painful. Because y'all just weren't around for the glory days of what I'm still so attached to. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? And so it just... to me, sometimes feels like, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Hope it gets better. It's like, you don't understand the gravity. And if I'm being honest, I get angry when you don't. And I know that that's irrational because you can't understand it. My sister can. My mom can. You know, like these are people who can get it. My mom doesn't have a whole lot of capacity, but my sister and I go back and forth. Mm-hmm. But I need a therapist, and that's not y'all's job. And I don't want you to think I'm hiding from you. I just haven't had much of a moment for myself, if I'm being honest.
No, I don't think that. I was just wondering how to show up, you know?
Yeah, I think it's when like people this. Say I think like, it's asking oh. how. And I think I think you know me well enough that if I am hiding to the point where I am harming myself emotionally, physically, all the leaves, I don't give a fuck, Antoinette. I'm coming in. Well, you know, like, I'm here. You're going to talk to, like, I trust that you know when that is. You don't have to know, but I wouldn't be, you know, angry with you at all for being like, I'm seeing X. Like, you're not okay. But it's not your job to fix it either. It's nobody's job. I have to learn how to manage it. But no, I know that y'all are there. I don't know if y'all, and I don't mean this with any disrespect, I don't know if y'all can provide the comfort that I'm looking for. You know?
And I don't know if that is what the offering needs to be or could be. There's nothing.
Yeah, there's nothing you guys can do.
There's nothing we could do
just,
in that
we
way.
Can just have fun the way we do, and it can be a beautiful escape in a completely different part of my life that I cherish. Mm-hmm. You know? But I appreciate you asking.
Word. I watched You Are What You Eat on Netflix.
That's what me and Mandy watched at Camp Cougar. The twins, right?
And yeah, I mean, I wasn't the actual premise of it and the results of it were kind of disappointing to me.
Why?
But I'm not gonna give it away. I can't give it away because I was like, oh, it ain't that drastic, my nigga. Like, okay. But
you're the worst.
It was big.
They were proving that you could do certain things being plant based. They were proving you don't need me.
The way it affected your sex drive is what really made me be like, are you fucking kidding me?
You're freaked out right now. You are.
That blew my mind. And of course, just seeing the treatment and the environments of the animals, of course.
That was
and the impact on the environment, on the actual environment. Just, I knew this shit, but to be, it was just a really important reminder. Mm-hmm. And so I have, since I watched it, maybe like a week and a half ago, I've been just trying to do my plant-based thing until I went to New York the week before. And I can feel, I know I joked about the purity thing, but I can literally feel the bloat that I feel. It's you feel so bloated. Feel so bloated. I also ate a whole bunch of food as well, but it wasn't like a bunch of fucking kale and Brussels sprouts.
What did you
and
eat?
Bullshit. What did I eat?
Yeah.
I went from eating fucking what was I preparing for myself? Great meals, delicious meals. Vegetables.
They?
I was eating vegetables and shit.
Give me some ideas. I'm making a couscous
and
a cucumber tomato thing tomorrow. With some olive oil and lemon and dill.
Yes. You're doing your vegetarian thing.
I'm not doing no vegetarian thing. I'm just trying to get on my Mediterranean kick. Anyway, go ahead. I need ideas.
JoJo wasn't feeling well, so I quick made a miso soup that was bussin' though.
It
was
a
vegetable packed. It was so good. It's because I love ramen and it was bussin'. That was all vegetable. I did a lot of sweet potato, sauteed cabbage with like sesame oil and rice. Just lots of like, the thing that I loved from that show was that, and I have been on this kick when I think I'm eating healthy, is that I eat less. And they're like, no, you actually have to eat more if you want. And I was like, what?
Because you need the calories.
What I learned, though, is that a hack for vegetarian meals is the fucking sauce. If you can get your sauce, your cream game down, dog. If you can get, and I mean like the cremas and like the vinaigrettes to pour over that shit to mask all the vegetable tastes, even though I love vegetables. I was like, okay, I got to learn. So I've been following a lot of different
influencers that be cooking up shit on Instagram that I don't really replicate when I try to make it. But I'm on my way.
You gotta give me your sauce recipes.
I will. I'll give you some sauce recipes. I'll share with you. I'm on blank right now, but I was raised on beans, rice, and greens as well. Mm. So like,
what kind of
bean? You gotta learn how to make a bean. You make a bean, a nice bean dish, because then you can fuck it up from there. You know, we can have. Anyway, we'll talk about it. What else? So I don't feel like talking about all that, but that's basically it. I just I'm trying to stay on my Dean there and trying to feel good about it. My leg is healed, so okay. I went back to the gym. All right.
Hallelujah.
Back in the I have like a one-on-one tomorrow. For whatever reason, this gym's like, we'll make your monthly rate cheaper you have to check all of these different tasks, and one of them is having a one-on-one. So that's what I'm going to do tomorrow. And that's it, girl. That's it. Just keeping on, keeping on. Shout out to people that have responded to the Jazz Fest.
Did you get the voicemail I sent you? I emailed you a voicemail. Somebody called in about it. A nice lady who was explaining it.
They said yes, right? Did they say do it?
Yeah, but you should listen to it for all the details.
Okay.
I know you was about to be like, they said, summarize that, Joel. What'd she say?
What'd she say?
No, she definitely listened to it.
Okay. People saying do it, so I might. But I might do BAM in New York instead because it's closer and less of a heavy lift. But anyway.
Like Dance Africa BAM? I think that your stuff is going to be too high priced there.
For real?
I think, maybe. But also, you could be set apart because your stuff is more quality. I went last year. It was a lot of junk. And I was like, what the
fuck? It's like Odunde?
Yeah. It could be like junk jewelry. Or a lot of, you know, same kind of stuff. It's like Odunde.
Should I go to Atlanta then? What do you think?
I think Atlanta Jazz Fest will have more of the clientele.
It has an older crowd. Yeah, older people.
It has a little
people.
Bit more bread, a little bit more refined.
Hot damn, we going to Atlanta. Want to come?
Where you going? Yeah. Where we staying? We staying with my ex?
Yeah. Lover?
Did you see what... Did I send you the idea that I had? I DM'd it to you.
Yes, but I didn't know if you were serious.
I was.
You talk about the offline.
You hate it. All right.
Okay.
I want y'all to know that Shati shoots down more of my creative ideas. We're going to do some. My tricky shirt was a hit. You got to trust me on this other endeavor.
I just think it's played. Like everybody's does. It's like. One, I don't know that he would want to do that.
He'll
again.
He'll do it.
Because he does not want to be that person anymore. Anyway.
We'll talk about it. He'll do it for us. He'll do it for me. He owes me.
A lot.
Anywho, please rate, subscribe, and share Around the Way Kels. What if I talk like this for all the rest of the episode? Pip, pip. No. Okay. Also, call us, y'all. 215.
Call us, y'all.
948.
Call me on Shaniqua phone.
2780. Speaking of Shaniqua, I have to be honest. When you started talking about sauces, it reminded me of a sauce called Shaquanda's hot pepper sauce.
Shut up. You're making me mad with you. What you just
no,
said.
No, let me tell you something. You laugh. This shit is delicious. This is the best pepper sauce I ever had in my life. And let me tell you this, Shaquanda is what I believe Shaquanda is. I could be wrong, but I don't think I am because I'm on Shaquanda's site. Shaquanda is a drag queen. I love it. I love it even more. Everybody, go buy this.
Shaquanda does sound like a drag queen.
Shaquanda is a drag queen, and Shaquanda's hot pepper sauce made their first appearance where she was asked to perform. And Shaquanda would only do it if she was able to perform using food. And this shit was a hit. It was on Hot Ones, and everybody was saying, you know Hot Ones, where they eat the wings and answer their questions? Everybody was like, this one is good. What's this one? I love it so much. Shaquanda is fucking fabulous. And this pepper sauce is all that.
Pepper sauce.
No, it's not pickled.
Creamy garlic. You know what I mean?
You've already dismissed it and you haven't looked at it. You need to do your due diligence.
I apologize, Shaquanda.
It's very good. And it's not just spicy, y'all. It's flavored well. She has a umami sauce. She has a West Indian curry sauce. She's got a, what the hell is that? A spicier smoke. She's got a green saison that is sold out.
What you call it?
Saison. How are you supposed to say it? Tell me.
I have no idea what that word was, so I can't connect. I don't know.
Wait, saison. Isn't that what the, oh, are we about to embarrass?
I don't know how to say it, so don't get me to making you feel insecure, because I do not know. How you spell it?
S-A-Z-O-N. Oh. You don't know what that is?
Saison?
You say saison?
Saison? I think it's called saison. So.
Saison? Maybe Jade says it like that, but she could be being funny. Anyway, embarrassing myself. But that was not an ad.
It was not. It was truth straight from the heart. And that's how we need y'all to rate, subscribe, and share about this podcast. I had that same energy.
Same energy. Okay? Because listen here. I went and bought a bottle of that, and I'm already on that website. And I might go down.
Shaniqua? What's it called?
Uh-uh. Shaquanda. What's it called? Don't play, Shanti.
Oh, God.
You being disrespectful.
I can't make it up.
All right. Voicemails! We're at that time, everyone. We're going to play some voicemails for you. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Speaker still isn't working, and I hate it here.
Hi, Shanti. Hi, Antoinette. My name is Jessica. I'm one of your more international listeners. I live in Paris. I am French. My background is that I'm Western and Central African, but, you know, I'm French because of colonizations. Anyways, in most recent episode that I was listening to, you mentioned how France is the first country that has put abortion rights in their constitution. And then Shanti finally quipped, you know, we should just move to France. And I'm here to tell you, no. Actually, you do what you want to do. Like, but there's this idea that I feel people have about European countries and how it might be better or it's not as aggressive when it comes to racism or discrimination. And you guys will be able to pull it off because you'd come with your very cute American charm and people would love you. But for us, Black native of this country, it is the ghetto. There was this controversy recently of who they have decided might be able to perform at the Olympic Games opening ceremony. And the most listened to French or French-speaking artist in the world is this beautiful Black woman who I enjoy her music, but some people don't. And it was just the idea of her maybe performing that basically had everybody here in France in a tizzy. And now it's actually being talked about on the news. Politicians are actually coming to her, you know, like to, I guess, defend her. People are now attacking other people over it. Like, it's this huge thing over here, over this Black woman who would maybe represent France, and French people are unhappy that it would be a Black woman who would represent France. So, yes, we are legally able to dispose of our body and decide what we want to do with it, but that doesn't mean that if you were to go to a gynecologist, as a Black woman in a Black body, he might not give you hell for it. But anyways, love your show. I am what I call an OG fan. You will know what that means. And can't wait to hear more of your episodes. Love you guys. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Or romanticizing ass Americans.
I know. That's why I played it. I was like, look at this.
Where can we go?
You know, that's it's very easy to do, to read. One, that's what I'm trying to tell you. There's no place to save. It's the Walking Dead, Shanti. All this shit fucked up. Everybody's got the disease. Do you understand why this film? No, not a film.
Yeah.
I fucked it up. Yeah. Do you understand why that series is getting to me? We're all diseased. We all have it. We all have it in us. We all have the matrix in us. We're one step away from the matrix. Anyway.
Yes.
The matrix. I need to rewatch that. Ready? Are you ready? The Freak Jones was called. Here you go. I called him.
Hello, ladies. I was calling because I have some insight about the Mia Coppola scene that you guys were talking about with the wine. I can't remember which one you guys said it, but you were questioning how it works with the wine. The wine is amazing. I currently have a buddy that does the wine, and it is such an amazing feeling. You're not going to question what you need to do when the wine is happening. My eyes should be rolling in the back of my head. The wine is an amazing time, baby. But also, I had a question because, as I said, I'm not going to say my name, but I am a long-term listener, and I have a sex buddy, and previously he asked me about doing a threesome, and at first I said no, but now that we're like a year and a half in to doing the whole sex buddy thing, my curiosity has been kind of sparked to do a threesome with him and another woman, but I don't really know how to approach it or how to even, because he wants me to find her because he feels like that would be better for my comfortability level if I sought her out, but I really don't even know how to go about that. So I was wondering if you ladies might have, I don't know, advice on how I could possibly go about that, or would you even do it? Because I've never been with a woman, and I'm only comfortable doing it with him because we do have a long-term, what's the word I'm trying to say? Well, we're comfortable with each other, and I trust him sexually. And I know I wouldn't want to do it with my actual partner because he's not my actual partner. He's just a sex buddy. So if I was in a real relationship, I know I wouldn't do a threesome with my man. So I think that's another reason why I'm comfortable doing it, if that makes sense. I don't know. That might sound crazy or weird. But, yeah, so if you ladies have any advice or insight on how I could possibly approach the situation.
I know she ain't asking my dry ass over here, child.
The wine is a thing, Shanti. Wine your waist. I think I lost
it. Ponda River. Ponda Punani.
I was gonna, I, for the second part of the question, the threesome part, I think you're calling the wrong podcast. I think you need to call Horrible
I was
Decisions.
About to say, why she calling
Call
that?
Horrible Decisions.
No,
they know.
I do have something to say. No, I have something to say. I think you need to make a list of what your fears are, what your curiosities are, and what like the prime setting would be. I don't think you should go into this unclear. I think you should have a conversation with him as well. I think it's important to include him. I personally would want, I think a part of having a threesome is that there is chemistry between everyone. And there's also something in knowing that your partner is attracted to the other person that, for me, I think could be a turn on versus a fear thing. So I don't know. I think it should...
Wait,
it shouldn't
say
just
that
be
again.
All on you.
You said your partner being attracted to the other person could be a threesome.
I think if you're going to have a threesome, that there should be, it shouldn't be at the comfort of just two people out of it. I think everybody should be in sync and be attracted to each other and that there's some chemistry. I think it's dumb to have a threesome with a man knowing that there's a deep insecurity that they're, that could exist that like, oh, he likes this other person more. It may be inevitable. I've never done it before. Like, I don't know, but it doesn't seem like she's in a relationship where emotionally she would feel threatened or upset. So all the more to like make sure that there's that chemistry between everyone. And I feel like he should be a part of that as well. But this is from somebody that ain't never done nothing and ain't doing nothing. But if I had to be a Sag and tell you how to do it, that's what I would do. But what do you think?
I think for me, I don't know if it would turn me on if my partner was attracted to someone else. Someone else being attracted to my partner could be a vibe of like, oh, you like him too? I know. Ooh, ain't he this, ain't he that? But yeah, my version of a threesome is not watching my partner do anything to anybody else. It's maybe my partner really? Watching me and somebody else, or someone enhancing my pleasure, or maybe she could kiss him on the back of his neck, but I might want to fight her.
Wow.
So it might not work for me.
Wow.
Yeah, I might could want to fight her. It depends. A couple, 20 years, we old, I don't care. Fine, maybe. But
I don't care.
That's me. I'm speaking for myself. You asked me. But I, one, thank you for the information on the wine. The wine has happened. But what the way that, can you demonstrate your wine one more time, Shanti?
He had his legs.
No, just do what you was doing. That's what I don't. What he was doing. I don't know that, because he wasn't doing that. What you're doing is not what he was doing.
You don't see my waist. You don't see my waist. That's what he was doing.
I see a top, and I know your waist ain't matching what he did.
He was just, like.
No, he wasn't.
Whatever he was doing, I was like, oh, okay.
But I think that, yes, that circular motion is great. Great. But I just, the threesome thing, there are definitely ways to engage with folks. And I honestly think that Mandy would be a great resource. And I think she'd be super open to whole, I know they call it whole mail, to providing that kind of insight. I think like, what if I heard, most times people are on vacation, I've heard, and then like, you know, you go up to a couple, but again, can you properly, it depends on if you want to vet this person a certain amount, if you want to get tested first, like it all depends on how you want to do it. And I almost feel like this is Googleable. Like, I think you could Google this at this day and age and stuff will come up, and yeah, you take what resonates with you, yeah, and you leave what doesn't. Yeah, you know, maybe you, it's a sex club, I don't know.
Yeah.
But there are ways.
Tell us how it go, girl. Make sure it calls back.
Right. We over here talking about, should he whine inside? We don't know. Promise. All right. Next up.
Hi. I just called. I didn't introduce myself. I was scared. But I'll say it now. I'm Victoria. And I went back, and I hear Shanti asking, how do you engage with that whine when the man is gyrating inside of you? You just have your legs open and just ready to receive. Like, you just take it and just enjoy, you know, like you don't have to wind your waist back. There is no winding your waist. You can't even move really, because it's that pleasurable. And it feels like they're massaging your insides. Like, it's amazing. And I hope you guys get that one day. And Antoinette, with your guy that you may or may not be talking to, show him that video. It'll change your life. It changed mine. And now I think that's a prerequisite, you know, to sex for me. Like, you have to know what you're doing and have a good stroke. That in and out shit is played. That's young boy shit. Y'all, men, do the wine you're wasting. You know, like, get in there. Make her feel good. Make her feel appreciated. All right. Bye, y'all.
I would try to, of course. Yes, absolutely. Please. I want to see you sweep, eat pizza, wine your waist.
Wine your waist. Interesting. I, if I was dating somebody currently, then and after that podcast, then I would have definitely had him watch it. So maybe I did watch it. Maybe we did watch it together. Maybe we did. Just that part.
Confirm.
But I think to talk bluntly, I think it's important to also watch porn and watch the videos that you like with your partner, and to explain to them why you like it. I've definitely done that in the past and had a time afterwards, because it could have been, I like the way he's talking to her. I like the way he's handling her. I like the way that he's in command. I want to feel like that. I want to just, whatever it is, mm-hmm, I want to try this position, you know, and especially watching what men like, because they're always scared. It's funny how when you ask a man to turn on some porn and the porn that he likes, and he said, well, what do you mean? Like, I don't know what to search for. Like, oh, and they get, for the most,
you know exactly what.
They act so scary and it's so funny. And I'm like, you're so terrified that I'm going to be freaked out if you put like DP blonde bimbo or something. You know, like just put it on and let's talk through it. Let's see what you're talking about. But they never do. They always pick some old, you know, all right, I guess I'm just like ebony fat ass. Okay, go ahead, put it on. Let me see. What's your go-tos? I know you got these bookmarks somewhere. Stop playing.
I know, stop playing.
And it unlocks something in them, but it's also just good to see. So I highly recommend that. But anyway, let's take a break. Let's take a break and we're going to get into our main topic, which I think is a good one.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
As someone that has textured and curly hair, I am so excited to share Clairol Textures and Tones came out with a permanent color range specifically for us, the curly, coily girls. Say hello to the improved formula and new look while preserving your curls and your shine. Do y'all know about Clairol Textures and Tones? Because guess what? You finna learn something today. They give you brilliant color and moisture with zero ammonia. Okay? That is almost unheard of. It's quick. It's easy to use. There are 12, count that, 12 new upgraded texture-loving shades just for us. We can feel proud to be able to transform our hair and ourselves right at home. Girls, this is going to save us a lot of time and money. So remember, it's not the hair color you were born with, but the hair color you were meant to be. Clairol, it's so me.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we're back. So I was having an interesting conversation. And I've been thinking a lot about this, the idea, the premise of do nice guys finish last? And why or why not? And so let's say that I'm dating a nice guy. Let's just say that.
Hypothetically speaking. Right.
And let's say that, you know, I'm talking about this nice guy to, I'm in conversation with my sister and her husband, my brother. And he's engaging, my brother sees me and he was like, oh, you know, how's that going? You know, what's happening over there? And I'm like, man, he's an angel. That's usually how I refer to him. He's an angel. Like he does da 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 da, like, and ran off this long laundry list of all the ways in which he shows up, how consistent he is. I mean, I'm saying stuff like, in the morning when I'm working from home, he makes me breakfast. He knows that I don't have a washer and dryer in my raggedy white refrigerator apartment. So he washes my clothes for me, encourages me to bring my clothes over there, has folded my drawers. He moves my car during alternate side parking. I don't even remember that I have a vehicle when I'm staying with him. Not even a thought. He's on it. He's constantly complimenting me, constantly telling me how much he appreciates me. He reassures me. He is constant communication. I don't think there's been one time when I called him and he did not answer. I don't think there's one morning that I don't wake up and he's wishing me good morning and checking in. He listens, he checks in when it comes to my work-related things. He He's asking me how recordings went. He is invested, showing up, good guy. One of these men that, like, he treats me like a precious gem that I could break, you know? Like, he needs to know when I'm coming to his house. I'll even share my location because he doesn't want me only for an hour, but he doesn't want me walking to his door from my car without being outside to get me. Just shit like that. And so my brother-in-law is like, wow, that's really interesting. How are you handling that? Is that hard? And I was like, huh? What? And he was like, well, it must be hard for you. It's like probably fucking with your identity. And I was like, what do you mean? He was like, well, yeah, like you identify so much as someone who's like alone and without help and like care that like probably feels like an attack. And I was like, oh, Dennis? Shut the fuck. I was like, Dennis, this is all hypothetically. It could have been a dream I had.
Never happened. You.
So I'm like, wow, the way that Dennis will so subtly just, it's like what you were talking about in the last episode where it's like, I don't know if you need to say it. Some ways, like Dennis is that guy that will figure out a way to say the thing and walk away and have you deal with it. You know, like, okay. So he says all this. And I had to, I deep dived into myself a little bit. Oh, hit the mic. I apologize, Monty. I took a deep dive in internally and just had a little audit of like, what is this urge that you have sometimes where you do reject it? You know, he will offer help and you will be like, no, it's fine. It's fine. Or you don't have to do that. Or, oh my God, honey, I know you said it already. I get it. You're so, I call it googly. I'm like, you're so googly. Oh my God. Such a sap. Jeez. Play with me. I'm not precious. I'm not going to drop, you know, or break. Like these kinds of, it's too much. Oh, he's sappy. What is it? Why is that the response? Goofy. And I think part of it is, you know, in the beginning stages, they're the beginning stages. You've got butterflies. You're learning somebody. It's exciting, whatever. That's how people are going to be. But I think for me, I had to take a inventory and recognize there's something awry here because this is literally an answered prayer, right? And it's not that I'm rejecting him. I'm all in. But the way it can make me uncomfortable or make me push back a little bit. Like I'll push back on the care that I've prayed for. Does that make, like, what?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So last night I was actually in this dream, I was talking to him and he said, you know, what is your main topic or whatever? And I'm like, oh, I actually got to get off the phone and figure out a main topic for tomorrow. I got to find some inspiration for the podcast. And I go on YouTube to just feel, I don't know, to find something. And I stumble on the School of Life, which is the overarching like brand on YouTube. It has 8.83 million subscribers. It's amazing. He actually put me onto it. And the video that pops up is Why Nice People Repel Us. And so I said, well, let me go ahead and click on this and figure out what they're talking about. I'm going to play a clip. Sorry, Monty. I'm going to play a clip from this that really sat with me. Okay? And then we'll discuss.
Perhaps because, through no fault of our own, a whole character may have been built up around the need to cope well with not being given what we want, with not finding intimate satisfaction, with not being the recipient of anyone's reliable kindness, with being foiled in our search for tenderness and sympathy. As people with an allergic response to warm-heartedness, somewhere in our past, we are liable to have experienced severe letdown, against which we had to insulate ourselves with a plethora of clever defensive strategies. We learned to always reject before we were rejected. We learned not to get taken in by anyone's honeyed words. We firmly exchanged hope for cynicism and vulnerability for impregnability. No wonder, then, that a kind soul might come across as extremely threatening. The nausea we feel in their presence isn't so much disgust as fear.
Did that resonate with you at all?
Oh, no, I don't have anybody that's threatening me.
Stop it.
I don't. No.
It doesn't have to be romantic relationships either. But have you ever met someone new, especially, you know, romantic relationships just, I think, really help us see ourselves. Been on a date and you've been like, he's too nice. He's too this, like, I don't know. He doesn't have that thing to him. It was okay. I don't get him. Have you ever had that?
Yes, absolutely.
Would you like to share anything more than yes?
I think.
Like, how do you feel about this?
I really enjoyed that video. I watched it. It made a lot of sense. I think Dennis's question as well around the identities that we create, or the identities that we, that we create, and having someone cause us to have to renegotiate, recreate it, or be more aware of how addicted we are to that familiarity, even though it can be a place of pain, I think is really interesting. Mm-hmm. In my particular case, I don't think, and you asked the question, do nice guys always finish last? I don't, as of recently, I think I've always chosen a quote-unquote nice guy. But my experience with the niceties was still coded within all of how pleasant, how there wasn't much conflict, how there was care or this performance of care between he and I was also just covering up a lot of avoidance, right? Like, I think at the root of all of this idea of identity is your attachment style. And so I know mine would be avoidance and even though it was cloaked in like niceties and like empathy and emotional understanding, it still didn't quite meet my needs in a way. So that was still it was still very familiar to me. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm not necessarily, I don't go after like a bad guy or a person that I have to run after or who I feel like isn't choosing me. But then there's also still like this deeper thing of avoidance that feels really familiar. And I think that, you know, that's a pattern that I have that I don't know that the nice guy, even if you get a quote unquote nice guy, you're still going to be confronted with your identity and your attachment styles, which you might be experiencing, but might not be experiencing.
I think this brings up a great point to define what the nice guy is. Because I think my understanding of what the nice guy is the guy that shows up intentionally and is also kind. So like all of the things that I've listed out are things where there's investment, you know, like there's someone showing up. He's not performing these things. He's genuinely invested in me and helping my life be easier and caring for me and getting to know me, right? And I feel that. Mm-hmm. I feel that in a way that I don't think that I felt ever. And without me having to do much or do anything besides be to get it from him, which also feels like, whoa, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is strange. This is different. This is new. So that's how I'm defining the good guy, is the intentionality with you and your heart and the future and in investment and deepening the relationship. You put an article here from Psychology Today that was interesting, where they were talking about breaking out these different kinds of attractions. And before we get into that and different kind of nice guys, it's interesting that you're avoidant attachment. You said I'm anxious attachment. And I think I know it. He said it. He's also anxious attachment. And so you have two anxious attached people showing up and doing the most for each other while they're working out their trauma of like, I'm looking at him like, you don't have to do that. Like, I'm here. And he's looking at me like, you don't have to do that. I'm here. And we looking at each other like, well, who are we if we don't have to do that? And it's strange. It's a mirror. And it's wild. But this Psychology Today, it's very different. The Psychology Today article was really cool to me because they were breaking out the ways in which women were attracted to men specifically in that role. I think it also translates in LGBTQ relationships as well. I think it's just the type of person. But for the purposes of this conversation, we're doing, you know, women and men, because that's how, you know, we identify as straight, and that's just how it's written. But there's dominance, right? That you're attracted to dominance, which usually is associated with a bad boy or a hero. And they were seen as more dominant than nice guys and the losers. The losers are people who just don't have nothing going for them, and they're not nice people. Then there's supportiveness, which is attributed and associated with the nice guys and the heroes. And they were seen as more supportive than the bad boys and the losers. And then there's physical attractiveness, which is attributed to the heroes and the bad boys. And they were presumed to be the most physically attractive. Losers are the least attractive. And nice guys fall somewhere in between. And it was interesting, the idea of the hero, right? Because they were saying that a lot of women who pick bad boys tend to be prioritizing short-term physical attraction over long-term emotional support. It might happen because of a hookup without commitment. They may also be avoidant and have difficulty trusting a partner, especially with greater emotional intimacy. They may have low self-esteem and are simply selling themselves short, yada, yada. Then the women who pick the nice guys, in contrast, are prioritizing emotional support instead. They tend to have higher self-esteem, are more restricted interest in sex. Overall, they are making the opposite trade-off in a mating choice than a woman who picks bad boys. Specifically, the bad boys are willing to be long-term partners, willing to commit. And even when that person,
we're talking about the
good guys right now. Women who pick good guys. So these good guys, the trade-off is that they're willing to be long-term partners. They are willing to commit, and even when the partner is not the most attractive or the most dominant option. And then you have women who are looking for the hero, and these are the quote-unquote complete package. They're dominant, they're supportive, and they have the physical attraction. So these women, although they may be a bit anxious at times because they're still going for that physical thing and that like dominant thing, they still have a high self-esteem because the hero is compassionate with their partner. And these women tend to be the women who want it all and tend to be the most desirable mates themselves in terms of who gets these kind of people. It's interesting. I was trying to think about like celebrity couples who like, who's a hero? And I guess, you know, who's dominant, but still, we have no idea, but portrays themselves as a good guy who has it all, the money, the swag, the this. And it's like, Idris Elba? I'm not that attracted to him, but they fucking love him. Like, okay, great. And then you see his wife on his arm. Who else? Like a Brad Pitt.
All of them. All of them are portraying that hero, the guy. Yeah, the top, the
exactly. Creme de creme gets and the so creme we get creme. Caught up in that. And I thought it was very interesting that the women who pick bad boys or who get off on like this bad boy thing often have low self-esteem. And it's like the bad boys won't commit. They won't this, they won't that. So they're basically feeding that low self-esteem that you're so used to. You know, you're used to being maybe discarded of. You're used to maybe being played. You're used to being having to prove yourself and vie for time and attention and energy and possibly be let down. But also when they do pick you, it's wildly exciting and invigorating. And you're like on this whirlwind. And then when they drop you, it's like, damn. But then they come back and then you're up again. And it's like, woo, little roller coaster ride. My stomach is in my chest. There's all these butterflies. Really, it's just toxic and unstable and inconsistent. Mm-hmm. But how many of us are looking for the hero? And is that realistic? Out of those things, what are you looking for? I don't think that you pick a bad guy ever. I don't think that's just these.
No. I think I look for the good guy. I feel like this is very generalized, of course. You know, all of this has all of it's far more complex beings out there. But yeah, I think I look for a good guy. I don't trust extremely attractive men. And I don't say that to say I'm looking for somebody that's not attractive. I don't. I'm generally always attracted to my partner. But like I inherently don't trust, or it's very hard for me to trust men that are super attractive and like invested in their attractiveness in a particular kind of way. Like they know that they're fine. Yeah, I don't trust it. I think maybe it's like my inherent, like it's too much competition. Like I don't consider myself to be a comparable partner, a hero. I don't like the word hero part, or like the most attractive like person next to them. So maybe that's an underlying thing as well. But since I was a very young girl, it's always been like, no, I don't trust you. You talk too fast, you're too slick. You a Kasim ass nigga. Shout out to, but I just don't. So I tend to go for nice guys. I tend to go for nicer guys. I tend to go for this whole dominant beta alpha thing is very interesting to me. I think I dismiss it, but I also think that there's something very real about it. I think dominance and not the abuse of dominance is very attractive. Is very there's something about it that is really makes you feel secure.
It's disarming.
Makes you feel excited. Makes you feel revved up in a way that men that don't have that just kind of feels just it does not excite you, and it doesn't excite you
in the same way. No.
It don't hit the same. That shit don't slap.
It doesn't. And that's a real
thing.
And I'm wondering if that has to do with our conditioning or if that's just like innate primal instinct, you know, of like this confident being has it. Because I've had that with the woman that I dated. She was alpha and I was in to it. So it's not a male thing.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just for gender.
It's an energy. And I'm realizing too that there are some men that really enjoy seeing their woman like that in different spaces. I'm realizing if I am dating somebody right now, he tends to love to see me when I'm telling it like it is and in command. He's like, oh, okay, heard you. And there's something about that where you just have a confident partner who I always equate it to, who knows how to handle you. And that's not just physically, but, you know, I think part of it too is for women's intimacy, for me, let me not say for women, for me, intimacy, sex, attraction, all these things start mentally, you know, and like, yes, care being included in that mental stimulation is wonderful. Security, a safe space, all of that. But somebody who's like, I'm about to do XYZ, or just, they just, the way Trevante looked at Kelly Rowland before he was about to kiss her, the way he grabbed her neck and brought her into him so he could care for her and whine all over, that kind of energy. That kind of energy is it's an energy. You ever had a man look at you and you just like, ooh, and they just looking down at you like, come here. We talked about that before. Come here. What? Okay. Yeah, I would be lying if I said that I don't want that and enjoy that. And so I think that's what they mean with the hero thing, which I don't like the terminology either, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I think what's most interesting is now the opportunity that you may or may not have in this situation. And I feel like the identity part for anybody, once you're like locked in with somebody, and it feels good, regardless of where they fall in this hierarchy or whatever this is, whatever, you know, this thing is that we just mentioned, you are going to have to confront yourself in a way.
Yes.
Inevitably. Mm-hmm. And the longer the relationship, and seeing how this person not necessarily manages you, but how this person manages themselves is where like the real attraction and the real kind of like, oh, you 10 toes down like, how are you showing up for yourself? Mm-hmm. How are you in control or not in control, or how much are you committed to whatever the wound may be, or revealing the wound? Or yeah, it's just like this amazing dance that comes into play that is really dope that you even have an opportunity to see for yourself in this moment. Because it's not, again, it is about him. Like, he got the right mirror. He got that nice, perfect mirror with the nice light on it, and it's great. But it's like, oh, I'm holding this mirror up to you, and how lovingly that person's going to do it so that you can look at yourself and be like, oh, okay, look at me. Because now it's...
No, I mean, I'm already feeling it come up for me. I mean, the identity thing, I mean, I've been 8 years single with no one consistent, no one to call, no one to this. And this was not something that was brewing. Yeah. This just happened, and if we fell right in. And it happened quickly, and I was waiting for the other shoe to drop, and it ain't drop. And I'm like, well, what the fuck? And so it is messing with my, it's holding a mirror up. I won't say it's messing with anything. It's holding a mirror up and allowing me to confront some things. And I don't know that I know how to do that. And he's patient. But I am so curious of like, what is this rooted in? I mean, I watched this video, sure. And I'm going to play the end part because it goes into that a little bit. Maybe I should play it now. But I am like, it's not a resistance, but what is the thing that makes you, it's not even uncomfortable. It's just like I'm actually out of practice of receiving this and I'm awkward. I'm like, oh, what is that thing rooted in?
It's fucking up your entire worldview in a way. It's fucking up your entire way of engaging with. Because that's going to crack open shit for a lot of other stuff, inevitably.
But I always believed that it was possible.
Right.
The hopeless romantic me, but did I really believe it? I don't know if I did. What's crazy is I had resigned to, you know, I'll be somebody who has these wonderful, crazy affairs with these complicated men who I can just love as much as they'll let me. And there'll be a little bit of grief and heartache and despair in it, but that's what makes it romance. Huh? Like I love stories like that. I love heartbreaking stories where like there's so much love there, but it can't fully bloom and blossom. And I'm like, I'm even evaluating that of like, what is your obsession with these kinds of stories? Why does that feel like more exciting and have more gravity and more love than the ones that are consistent and somewhat, I would call it boring, but it's not. It's just consistent and real.
I think it also is inviting you because, again, how we love, being in a romantic relationship allows you to see yourself, but it also allows you to realize how that spreads into every part. It's not just that thing is not just with him. That's with everything that you engage with. That's how you engage with the world, your work, your this, your that. Once you start seeing the thing, you're going to feel that same thing and other stuff. And be like, oh shit, this is how I identify, and it's beautiful because it cracks it open, and then you have all of this. It just cracks it open. I don't know what happens afterwards. It's just you cracked open like, oh, wait a minute. That's not just my thing of identity and my love thing, but with all the things. Fuck. Or great. I don't know. Girl, I don't have no answer. If you come here and think I don't know. I ain't got nothing. I just have touched that side.
No, I don't necessarily think you have an answer, but
recoiled.
I think that you stop. I think that you see me. You're my closest intimate relationship. So I think that what you're saying is valuable. I don't even know if I'm looking for answers. I think I'm just sharing because it's coming up for me, so I know this shit gonna come up for other people. And it's wild it's just a wild place to be in. It's like, oh shit, there's so much work for me to do and undo. Yeah. And, you know, you're lucky if you find somebody to help you
to do it. I know.
From a loving place.
A witness.
Annoying. Shut up. Just watch a movie and
watch
chill.
A movie.
All this bullshit. Like, bro, relax. Anyway, meanwhile, he was signing me up for therapy for Black girls.
Really?
He was like, "What's your email address?" I said, "Don't play with me." He looked at my email. It's therapy for Black girls. I said,
"What's wrong with that?"
No, nothing. It just is. This is what I'm saying. It's like, oh, somebody's like, "Oh, you really want to do this work? Come on."
You like, do I?
You.
The fuck?
I thought I had did it. I thought I'm good because I believe in love or whatever. As long as you're more dominant and you sometimes are a little bit like evasive, then yeah, we good. Because I can repeat my codependent patterns. Hello. Duh. Mm. And I can show up and show you how great I am, and then you choose me all of a sudden. It's a fucking fairy tale the way they do in the movies. And then we live happily ever. You're big. I'm Carrie. Let's go. Mm. He's like, nah. He's like,
you want me to bust it open?
No.
I'm going to bust it open for
you. Like, come get this soft life and shut up. You really want this soft life? Come be soft. Ooh. Anyway, I'm going to play the end of the video so we can really go to sleep and think about.
Go to sleep, you say? You mean blink?
The work that we have to do.
At the ceiling?
Anyone can bear love that fails. It takes a very fortunate and secure childhood to countenance that it might, in fact, work out. It can be so tempting to accuse a kind candidate of something, to call them boring or soppy, or to make an acid remark about their way of stepping through a door or asking for more ice. We should have sufficient insight into our own difficult trajectories to put a finger more accurately on the true sources of our discomfort. That these unfortunates are in danger of not making us suffer in the way we have grown up expecting that we will have to suffer in order to feel that we are in love. We reject not out of meanness, but because we've had so little experience of kindness. The next time the ick of kindness descends, we might dare to turn it away in the name of starting out on what might turn out to be the greatest adventure of our lives, a belief in the possibility of contentment and closeness.
What's crazy is I'm sitting here thinking about my codependent nature. Remember, For Women Who Love Too Much, that amazing book by Robin Norwood. I'm thinking about how there's a whole chapter saying, the name of the chapter is, "If I Suffer For You, Will You Love Me?" So how can I be, how am I lovable if I'm not suffering? I haven't proven to you that I'm good enough.
You're seeing my sacrifice. You haven't seen this. This transaction hasn't happened.
Yes. I haven't proven to you. I haven't suffered for you. So this can't be real.
God is good all the time.
I'm fucked up. And no, I thought I wasn't. I thought I did all the work. But no, I'm not fucked up because I'm not turning away from it. I'm staring it dead in the face like, oh, I ain't messing this up. All right, mirror on the wall, who's the most fucked up of them all?
I'm not
because I hear other people and I'm like, y'all really fucked up. But
no,
it's wild to me. It's so wild.
It's perfect. It's just fantastic. Isn't it fantastic? It's just,
and it, you know match. the family stuff, it doesn't help to then have that where you're needing to kind of suffer to love, to be able to love some, you know? There's suffering involved in that. And it's like, well, and sacrifice. And it's like, well, I'm going to endure this to prove that I love you, that I'm here for you always. You know, like that's what you're taught. And that's what feels like it's required. I got to go to, it's so much therapy. I don't know if this makes sense, me talking in about stuff in code. But yeah, y'all, I'm dating somebody. He all that. All right. He all that, and he want me to go to therapy because he all that, and I'd be like, what?
Huh? That's what's up. For the sake of y'all, for the sake of you. Not for the sake of y'all.
For the sake of me. No, for the sake of me. He finna teach you. This is all a fucking, what is it? He is a vessel. This for me. Regardless of what happened over there, I'm finna learn something.
God is good all of the time.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right. Did you like this episode?
Yeah, it was great. It's great.
Do you really like it or?
I'm just
like,
being
rate
nice.
It. Another thing, I gotta be judged and shit. I got problems. Rate it, Chachi.
I'd rather not.
Give it a grade. A B plus? B?
Yeah, you got a B plus.
A B plus?
I got a B plus. I got like
so what's an A?
I don't know, child.
An 89. She said it's not an A.
Sure it was an A. I don't fucking know. Right. Get off my nerves, dog. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I don't know.
Well, also, this is why the other thing. I got to be able to joke with somebody like this, too. You know what I mean? Like, if we can't do this, she said, get off
if
my nerves.
If you can't, dog. That.
That's
if
important.
If you can't do that. I don't know.
I can't because be I'm so not well. Because yeah.
I think it for me, it's perfect because it's how I play with my avoidance. Like, I'm never not going to be completely avoidant. I'm always going to be a man. It's true. That's something that I realized. And you have to realize that I'm always going to be managing my avoidance. I'm always going to be called to be like, there's not going to be a day where I'm just going to wake up. I'm 38 years old. Like,
no, you're not.
Basically.
Are you 38?
I'm 50 years
old.
I don't know how old I am, but I'm old enough to know.
I'm 36, so you're 37.
You are.
I'm 36, about to be 37, and you're about to be 38. You're not 38.
It's something that I'm always going to be managing, you know? It is a place of comfort. It is a place of familiarity. It is a part of my being, and I'm not any less or fucked up or irreparable or unlovable because of it. I have to manage it, like all the things, but I don't think I'm gonna try to live my life trying to erase that part of me. I don't think I can. I don't think you can, but you can
like
manage
to erase
it.
Erase my codependency. I would like to erase that bitch. She got to go. It ain't no room for her over here. Girl.
It's a part of you. But it's not you at the same time, you know?
It's like a...
At least, man, I'm projecting. Maybe you can. God willing, you can. Me?
TikTok therapy going on right now.
Me? It's a part of my way of being. What am I going to turn into? A balanced, normal person? Get the fuck out of here. That's a part of the charm to me. Could you imagine?
Maybe we actually do the work and turn the corner.
You'd be like, Shanti, you ain't the same.
I don't know if you'd be as much fun if you were all healed up.
For real. If I was all healed up, you'd be like, girl, this ain't the same.
You'd be like, well...
Why the fuck you telling me that?
Have you ever been in... This is a good thing. Have you ever been in conversation with somebody who's like hella healed? And you like...
They really healed.
No. Whoa. But like... but they're like a walking kind of PC response and book. I have. I've been in conversation with people who are like, thank you for sharing that. I feel...
I do not trust those people.
All I did was tell you what time we're going to the movies. What are you talking about? Why are you responding to me like this? Thank you for sharing that. Them. I feel that would be a great time to enjoy the film. My intentions are to, like, you know that meme where you're like, the girl was like, I posted it. It's a video. She was like, I finally stopped. I finally tried to give good guys a chance. And then he called her phone and she was like, good morning to you. The birds are chirping. She was like,
yuck.
No, yuck. We're unsatisfiable.
No, I don't know. We're all messed up and we're all just managing it, doing the best that we could do. Okay. Duality. Because ain't nobody out here walking around pure unless they Jesus Christ. All right. Anyway, I gotta go to bed. Tried to. Is everything okay?
Yeah, I'm starting to get a line in my head.
All right, girl.
Look at the way that Shanti will try to get off the phone with me every 5 fucking seconds.
It is 12:02. You don't see the bags under my eyes?
No, girl. I know what you want to get off the phone and do. So you ain't slick. So don't be rushing me off the phone because you got some electric shock therapy happening. Bye, girl. Bye.
Keeping me sane and healthy.
keeping me okay, girl. Keeping me from the bad guys. That's what it's
did
doing.
Did you know?
And that, the good guys.
Wait, but did you? Oh, I didn't announce the damn giveaway again. The vibrator giveaway. That's so annoying.
Can you make a separate video?
No, separate little shit. I'll just put it on Patreon and stuff.
You have just heard an Around the Way Curls John. Follow them on Twitter at ATW Curls and Instagram at Around the Way Curls. We out early.
Very good.